Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Did y'all see Bill O'Brien's explanation of why they didn't get Adrian Peterson?
No. What did he say?
Great guy. Do you have the quote?
Yeah, we have the audio, yeah.
Yeah, we got the audio. I just am not buying it. I don't know. Would it have been... I mean, I get it that you maybe thought, you know, the tread off the tire, is he the same guy? Are we just getting a name? I get that. But he is somebody you really could have used, and especially at the price you could get him for. And he wanted to be... I mean, it's like did they even kick the tires? I don't know. Yeah, we evaluated. Here's Bill O'Brien talking about Adrian Peterson.
Adrian, yeah, no, I know he lives here, and I know he works out here. I've been around him a couple times, more than a couple. Great guy. We evaluate everybody. So, I mean, if that answers to the effect that he had a chance to come here, sure, because we look at everybody. We talk about everybody over the years that are free agents, and he was one of those guys. You know, maybe the timing wasn't right. I think it's all about timing and fit. And maybe the timing wasn't right. It had nothing to do with anything other than that. I mean, he's a fantastic player.
Maybe the timing wasn't right? What kind of timing? What kind of timing? I don't
that
you mean you mean the football season? It wasn't right to sign
up. Well, because you knew
sneak up on you?
Well, but you knew.
Hey everybody, look out. The season is did you guys know the season was gonna start pretty soon?
Well, it would make
what does
sense.
That mean?
Here's what it could mean. What it could mean is they did or didn't know something that they had. Like, I would assume they knew everything they needed to know about Deontay Foreman, unless there was some kind of setback.
Deontay Foreman hasn't played. They knew he was.
No, but unless there was a setback at some point, because maybe they thought Deontay Foreman could be back by this time, and then it's extended. I don't know.
Even still. Well, he was on the PUP. He's gone for six weeks at least.
But he was PUP designated to return. He could have returned earlier.
Yes, no, earlier 6 weeks. Six.
No, there's multiple PUP. There's two PUPs. There's PUP 6 and there's PUP can return.
At any time.
And then you rescind that tag. Okay. I don't know if he was PUP 6 automatic or not.
Even still.
Well, I'm just trying to think of what, like, unless he's saying we knew what we had with Alfred Blue. I don't know. I mean, clearly it was Alfred Blue versus Adrian Peterson.
And that's
what it was, right?
Or that Deontay Foreman is coming
back.
Or
maybe he thought Deontay Foreman was coming back earlier than he has. Because I think that is accurate. I think they thought Deontay Foreman was coming back earlier. Because right now, we still don't. Although he said it is trending better for him. Actually, yesterday, one of the things, if we find the sound bites in his transcripts that I was reading. So it looks like Colvin and J-Jo are back this week. He said it's trending in the right direction for them to play. Yes, Kiki QT back, trending in the right direction for him to come back this week. He basically told you those three guys are going to be back. So you're getting two cornerbacks back, which is a major get. Demaryius Thomas is and he talked about they only got the ball three times, and most of them were they may have all been in the first quarter. He said, we got to get him. He said, making sure we get him the ball. And he got open a few times, and I just think Deshaun just wasn't going to look at him because he just didn't trust him. And understandably, when it wasn't something that was already put into, maybe the opening script. So now what you're going to get is Colvin back, J-Jo back. You're going to get Demaryius Thomas with a feel for the offense and the ability to challenge the corners along with DeAndre Hopkins. You know, you really don't have, and Kiki QT as a slot guy. You really don't have a lot of excuses for this game coming up. I know that you're on the road and it's going to be a challenge, but you're going to be relatively healthy and you're going to be, at full strength defensively, relatively speaking.
It's just another game where their offensive line, but let's not forget the Titans game either. Yeah, Washington's offensive line is banged up. They didn't have three guys there. And oh, by the way, they gave up 500 yards and only 3 points to Tampa.
Well, that's not good. That just means Tampa wasn't finishing. That
no, 500 Tampa. Is, Tampa did turn the ball over. It was
500 is a problem.
It was the worst red zone offense in the history of football.
Yeah, they shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah,
it's not. That has nothing to do with boy, Washington balled out in the red zone.
No,
Washington sucked on defense.
No, Washington was terrible. Tampa should have won that game all day long, and they just made mistake after mistake after mistake. But listen, the Texans really struggled against the Titans when they didn't have their tackles. That can't be the case this week. They have to get to Alex Smith. Now, Alex Smith is a smart quarterback. He gets rid of the ball in a hurry. He doesn't throw the ball down the field. You'll be able to choke them off. You'll be able to get to Alex Smith with your pass rush because you have a good pass rush,
right,
and they don't have their offensive linemen. There's no excuse this time, not like the Titan game where they didn't have anybody. The
what
Titans
was your
didn't have anybody.
In the Titan game?
They didn't have their quarterback. They didn't have Mariota.
Well,
they didn't have their quarterback. They didn't have anything.
The excuse JJ made was that, hey, triple team and they got the ball out quick. That was his, particularly getting the ball out quick. Was his, how are we going to get sacks to get the ball out quick?
Yeah, we couldn't get to him because they, did you guys notice they take 3-step drops? Did you guys notice?
That was his excuse, which is what Alex Smith loves to do.
Well, that is Alex Smith's offense. That's it.
Yeah, that's why you need your corners to crowd up and not give any early separation so that you don't let him just have dink and dunk throws. I mean, you crowd Alex Smith and you force him to hold the ball a little bit longer. So, we'll see what transpires there, but you gotta love the Texans in the spot coming off the bye week, getting healthy in the secondary, getting healthy at the slot,
integrated at wide receiver two with Demaryius Thomas.
They've been playing better along the offensive line. They've been running the ball pretty well, not the last game notwithstanding, and Deshaun Watson is playing 8 touchdowns, no interceptions over his last three games.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson has, and Bill O'Brien was asked about that, and just basically, let's get Bill O'Brien asked about, I'm sitting here telling you what he said, let's hear from Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien was asked about Deshaun Watson, and this stretch of football that he's had, and he talked about his improvement and how he's improved and why he's improved as a quarterback.
I think that he's made a ton of improvement just in his knowledge of the NFL, of how we want to play the game. You know, I think he really understands strategically as basically the field general on offense out there on the field, how the game's going, how we want to play the game. And I think he has a very good feel for that. He really understands football. He's a very, very smart guy.
Well, and I think what he means by that is Deshaun just throwing the ball up into the end zone, trying to make a play thing had to go.
Yeah.
Don't, in the NFL, it's okay to punt.
Well, and also making better reads. Like, that was an issue he had in college where it was almost like he didn't see people. He'd throw interceptions. Like, why would you be throwing there? That interception they threw into double coverage against the Titans in the end zone, like, that should have never left his hand. It's almost like he didn't see.
Well, here's the deal. To me, though, that was more, I mean, they're moving the ball down the field, and he's trying to force something. I think he's just, okay, well, my guy can go up and make a play. He's DeAndre. He's going to go up and make a play. Let me try to force this into the end zone, as opposed to just taking, in the NFL, you just take your small wins. Field position is so much more important. And don't just chuck it up and think, well, that's okay to just throw an interception in the end zone. How many interceptions in the end zone does he have this year? Most of his interceptions are in the end zone.
Five.
Yeah. Something
crazy like that.
Yes. Because he's going, well, I'm trying to force to make a play. And he said that and multiple times. I'm trying to make a play here. Just take what they give you.
Take what they give you. But this is the growth of a quarterback. And this is one of the things that we talked about before the season started. I said there's a chance that he becomes a better quarterback with worse stats. I mean, there's a good chance. But the growth of a quarterback, you know, is he going to move to the next level? And moving to the next level involves, I wrote a Sports Map article about this earlier on. It involves some struggles. It involves adversity. You look at Andrew Luck. You look at Peyton Manning. You look at Tom Brady. There is adversity. You look at Russell Wilson hasn't had quite as much adversity. But when you look at quarterbacks who are really plus quarterbacks, they all had to deal with adversity at some point. Deshaun Watson dealing with adversity, of course, fans or media or whoever, you know, we're going to sit and pick at this or pick at that. But it is part of the process. And how you come out the other end, some guys don't come out the other end well. Like Dak right now, to me, is still in that. We're still trying to see how he's going to come out of this, because I don't think he's as talented as Deshaun Watson, not as naturally talented. But we'll see what happens with Dak Prescott. With Deshaun, we saw a stretch of football that didn't look nearly as good as last year. And he's only played 17 games now, or 16 games as an NFL quarterback. But I've already seen growth where he may have taken another little step, like incremental step, where he understands where his decision making has gone from C to B minus.
C.
Yeah.
Something just hit me. Do you think in any way, shape, or form that the switch and the kid thing and the beating of the kid thing had to do with them not taking him?
With that timing? Maybe after Bob McNair.
Well, there was
stuff.
Maybe after all this, we don't need any more kind of I don't want any more bad publicity.
There's a chance.
There's maybe.
Because you know what? I talked about Adrian Peterson on Twitter. I mentioned, man, I was like, dude, Adrian Peterson's a freak daddy. Look at what he's done after the first 2 weeks or something like that. Yeah. And I was a little bit surprised at how many of the responses would say 70% were negative about the reference that, and 30% were positive, like, yeah, one of the great running backs. I was a little surprised. Yeah. It was still 70%. That's what, 4 years ago?
Probably played.
Maybe,
you know,
that's
the Texans
what he meant by
the
timing.
PR thing. And,
well, they were already dealing with multiple things with Bob McNair. Right. Maybe that's what they were talking about with timing.
Maybe.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Yep. 8:14 ESPN 90, the timing of, well, Bob's been in the news. We don't need any more of that.
That might be it.
That could have been it. 8:14. You know them. They're all about PR. So why don't you save people money so that they can spend more money on Texan stuff?
So Bill Advisor will help you. I talked about it just a while ago. I talked about helping you with your bills. How about helping you with your homeowner's insurance and car insurance? Those are bills too. Now, you don't pay those. Well, sometimes you pay them monthly. I like to pay them 6 months at a time if I can get any kind of discount with that. But, you know, to do that, you want to go ahead and get your prices at a decent level so it doesn't just bury you financially. Sometimes you still have to go month to month. But what Bill Advisor looks to do is make those payments much lower for you. Their homeowner's insurance right now is it's a joke. I mean, they are killing the other guys in the market with homeowner's insurance. They're giving you not only as good a coverage in many cases with people like me, I've been paying for the same coverage on my house, even though my house has gone up in terms of its I've added equity. It's gone up in price and value since I purchased it 12 years ago. So what I did was I added $100,000 of coverage to my home, and yet I still saved over $700 with my homeowner's insurance. And you know what? All I had to do was I text money to 232323. They texted me back. I actually went through the system just like everyone else. I sent my address in. They, within seconds, I get a quote, and that's what the quote was on my home, only it ended up being a little bit more because I added $100,000 worth of coverage. You can add flood coverage. You can add jewelry coverage, something interior. If you have a lot of antiques or whatever the case may be, you can, you know, you can always alter your coverages a little bit, but you're going to get lower homeowners insurance from Bill Advisor. I promise you that. And they'll shop for the lowest rates they can get you with car insurance as well. Don't just sit there and give other people your money. It's your money. Keep it. Put it in your pocket with Bill Advisor. Go to BillAdvisor.com, or to get your homeowner's insurance within seconds, get a quote, simply text money to 232323.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 820 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, come on, 713-780-3776, the number to be with us, if you want to be with us here. Casey wants to get on the show. He's been waiting a little while. What do you say, Casey?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I guess my question is kind of for Lance, since he's a scout and everything, or was a scout. I was just wondering about Dak's development. I think Dak, I don't know if he'll ever be great, but I do think he's good enough to win games. I mean, I've seen him do it. I think his main problems are he holds on to the ball a little too quick, and then he misses a lot of open receivers sometimes. I was wondering if, are those things that you can learn, or are those just bad habits that, you know, don't ever get back on track? And then I also think another one of his problems is Scott Linehan. Do you think, you know, his play calling is something that he can overcome? I like how calm he stays, during games. I don't think his confidence is, you know, easily crushed, and I think that's a good quality having a quarterback. And I also think it'd be really hard for him to lose the locker room too. I think he's a good leader, so I was just wondering if what you thought on him.
So I think that Dak, his record as a starter is 26-15. That's pretty good, first and foremost. Secondly, I haven't seen a lot of improvement with his accuracy, and I don't think accuracy really improves. I think you either have natural accuracy or you don't. Sometimes it can be tied to your mechanics. Dak is just is going to be an inaccurate passer with throws, and that's one of the big knocks on him was I didn't think he was accurate in intermediate throws, and he's still inaccurate. And there are throws to be made against the Texans that we saw, and he just doesn't make them. He's just not an accurate quarterback. I don't think that's ever going to change. Love his demeanor, love his poise. He is mentally tough. I do like those things about him. He's physically tough, but also holding onto the ball gets in. You know, a lot of that goes to the processing. How much are you making him read? How quickly? If he doesn't read quickly and doesn't get through it quickly, and this goes for any quarterback, then you need a play caller who says, you know what, he doesn't do this well. Let's not ask him to do that. Let's limit it to a couple of reads, or let's create concepts where, you know, he can get to his primary reads earlier. Let's really work with him on pre-snap, you know, evaluations and post-snap, you know, quick post-snap evaluations so we can get him where he needs to be. So I think Dak Prescott is a little bit better than I thought he was going to be, but not a lot better. And I think he's an average NFL quarterback who is going to be a game manager who you need to take care of the football. You need to make some plays with his feet to extend some first downs. And then you're always going to wonder, can we win because of Zach, or are we going to have to fill everything in around him? And I think you have to fill in everything around him. That's how I feel about it. Doesn't mean I'd be looking to replace him right now, but, I mean, let's just be honest. Dak is going to be a guy who you're not going to win games specifically because of Dak at a high level. I don't think. But now he's got Amari Cooper. That helps. It'll help if he can get a really good tight end target. It'll help if they get another, you know, they line up, load up some wide receivers around him. That'll help. But I don't think you win because Dak puts a team on his back. I don't think. But he showed some of those characteristics as a rookie. You know, he showed some of them, and Dez was a better player then. But it was also, he needs Zeke Elliott to be really good to make his job easier.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Cowboys are a lot better when Dak isn't throwing as much. Of course, I say that. He had 36 attempts, his highest of the year in this last game, John. He was 26 of 36, 270 yards, a touchdown. That was, I'd say that was easily, it wasn't his highest rated game. A higher rated game was Jacksonville because he had two touchdown passes. He completed 72% of his passes. Ever since Amari Cooper came, you know, and I want to just be fair about this. He's played with Amari Cooper in two games. In two games, he's completed 67% and 72% of his passes for a grand total of 513 yards, three touchdowns, and one interception. It does help to have a guy who can get open. This just in. I don't think he's a – I think a first is too much to give up. But guess what? A guy who can get open underneath because he's so good with his route running and he's quick with his route separation, it sure does help your quarterback. It sure doesn't hurt him. So, you know, I'll give the Cowboys some credit. Amari Cooper has played pretty decent football the last couple games. You know what? It really begs the question, how terrible is Derek Carr right now? Derek Carr couldn't do anything with him the last 2 years. Derek Carr looks awful. How do you go from one of the rising young quarterbacks to one of the bottom 10 right now?
Do you really believe, though, that this is all Derek Carr? Or
no, but I think he's part of it. I 100% think Derek Carr is part of the problem.
Yeah, and I thought Jared Goff was a problem until he got with Sean McVay.
But he didn't really have any background there. Like,
but Derek Carr does have a background.
So I'm saying, Derek, Sean, you barely had any sample size to work with Goff. He was still young. Derek's got plenty of sample size.
I know, and he was a lot better.
And it's getting worse.
No, but I know he was a lot better until John Gruden came along.
Well, no, he wasn't good last year before Gruden got there either. Derek Carr was an issue last year. This is 2 years in a row now where Derek Carr, you know, even when Derek Carr.
Not like this. I mean, this is, now, you think he just is continually regressing?
That's what it looks like. I think mentally, and the way that happens is you lose your confidence. And he looks like a guy who has no confidence right now. Right. Look at this. As a rookie, right, 21 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. All right, that's okay, 58%. But it's the second year. What's that?
Not bad for a rookie.
No, that's okay. His yards per attempt, though, that everyone pointed out was 5.5. That's really bad. The next year, though, 32 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, completed 61% of his passes. His yards per attempt went up to 7.1, and it looked like, all right, we got something here. His third year, 28-6. Whoa, now the touchdown-to-interception ratio is getting even better. His interception percentage is just 1.1%, and his yards per attempt, once again, back at 7, and his completion percentage all the way up to 63.8. So it's like, not as high a completion percentage as you want for a guy who's only averaging 7 yards an attempt, but, man, the touchdown interception. Look at this last 2 years, John. Last year, all right, 62.7% completion, 6.8 yards an attempt. That's not great. 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. That's just clearly was an off year. This year, he's sitting there at 71% completion. Ooh, that's really good. Yards per attempt, 7.6. Ooh, that's pretty good. And then you look at his numbers, 10 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. That's terrible. Something is happening either with his decision-making or his ability to close. Maybe it's Gruden's offense, but this happened last year before Gruden was even here. I'm so glad we don't have these conversations with Deshaun Watson. I mean, do you feel nervous at all about Deshaun anymore?
No.
At all?
No.
I don't feel nervous in the least. Dell, your quarterback, Deshaun Watson, from your Clemson Tigers and your Houston Texans, you feel pretty good about him?
I mean, none of what you said is accurate as far as him being my quarterback. So, Clemson or Houston.
That's my quarterback.
Would never cry about Deshaun Watson.
That's my quarterback.
I never felt nervous about Deshaun Watson. My concern about Deshaun Watson was who he was playing for.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I still have some concerns. But just because I think Deshaun will have to make up for Bill O'Brien as opposed to the other way around.
Are your concerns the same as the superintendent in Onalaska?
About Bill O'Brien? I don't think Whitehead coaches can make quick decisions. Yeah, I don't think this particular Whitehead coach.
When are you going to send your apology to Bill O'Brien for being the red hot coach? I'm sorry, 6-3.
Yeah, is that good enough?
Is it? When are we going to start giving him
his
props as one of the top coaches in the league?
When he wins a divisional playoff game.
That's already.
See, 6-3 this year.
No,
isn't he above 500?
Wild card wins count too.
I said divisional round.
We don't care. Wild card wins are the same, basically.
You don't care about advancing the playoffs?
No.
Yeah, it's overrated.
That seems like a weird way to go about your football
team. Did they not beat the snot out of that Oakland team?
Yeah.
Thanks.
I remember that. And Cincinnati gets some.
Do you remember who was playing
quarterback? Was it Charlie Whitehurst?
Oh, what? No.
It was
Connor Cook.
Oh, yeah.
Connor Cook at one point was really good at Michigan State.
Great college quarterback.
What does that have to do with the NFL?
What a great dad.
Well,
because you mimic his dad. I understand why you think he's a great
dad.
So
they've beaten Connor Cook, Nathan Peterman.
Well, that was this year, Nathan Peterman.
And I was just thinking of some of the great quarterbacks.
Well, that's all. I've never been nervous about Deshaun. Just who he has to play under.
Sorry. I guess you didn't see his 19 touchdown passes last year under Bill O'Brien. I guess that didn't count.
And how many games did they win with those 19 touchdown
passes?
This is my favorite thing.
This is actually, y'all have to admit, this is a real thing. Ready? Bill O'Brien, terrible play caller. Bill O'Brien's terrible. Bill O'Brien is making Deshaun throw interceptions by calling dumb plays, and he's making Deshaun dumber. Like, I actually saw these things. Then when Deshaun started playing better and they started winning, Bill O'Brien is calling better plays. Deshaun is doing this despite Bill O'Brien. What about last year? Bill O'Brien had nothing to do with it. It was Deshaun Watson's natural ability.
See, none of that is true.
That is not the argument.
None of that
for me.
Is true.
No, I know it's not for you.
My argument is, will Bill O'Brien do things in game out away from play calling, which some people have issues with, like, you know, running the ball on first down every damn time.
You have valid concerns.
I have my concerns about
it's the people who can't get off the narrative of
that's bad.
If Deshaun plays poorly, it's never his fault. It's Bill O'Brien. It's the play calling, and he's teaching Deshaun dumb thought things about quarterback play in the room. But when he plays really well, he's doing it despite Bill O'Brien. Like, at some point, give a guy credit if
yeah, I agree. Except for those first three games, did you understand what the hell Bill O'Brien was doing with Deshaun?
Well, no, I would have done the same things. I understood why he did it against the. You didn't want to show New England the same thing, and you wanted to mix it up. After that, you know, get back to misdirection. It helps give your offensive line. It wasn't so much about Deshaun
as
it was
the offensive line.
Give your O-line a better chance to win.
And
by,
he has been.
By putting defenses on there. And it helps that they run the ball better.
Yeah.
I just hope he doesn't become a guy who, when he faces coaches who are considered better than him or on even par with him, he doesn't turtle up and screw things up.
Well, he's got to prove that he's not going to, because he hasn't yet.
You're talking about Bill O'Brien.
Yeah. When we come back. We've got a lot of other stuff to do.
Yeah.
713-780-3776, and we're still giving away the staycation to the Houstonian. So you got to keep on listening here.
We'll tell you. You never know when we'll trigger you have to phone call. So you got to keep listening. I want to tell you right now that here's a little call to action for you. If you are laying around on weekends like a couch potato, how's your life going? Are you working to live? Or are you living to work? You're probably living to work, and then you put all your energy into work and. You want to go work out afterwards. You want to get back in shape, but you just can't muster the will to do it. You just find excuses not to. And every day you wake up and say, this is the day I'm going to start to diet. This is the day I'm going to get back to working out. This is the day, and it never materializes. And what happens is you don't have the same drive that you used to have, and that's a drop in testosterone. And drop in testosterone can affect people who work out all the time. You don't retain the same lean muscle mass. That's a surefire sign. Maybe you're having issues with libido. Maybe you're having issues with drive at the workplace and in terms of being the very best you can be there and trying to rise up the ladder. I'm telling you right now, if you get your testosterone level at the right levels, like I did, it makes all the difference. You get back to being the real you. The person you are right now, your couch potato, all that stuff that's going on, hey, listen, that's not who you really are. So why don't you give yourself a chance to be the real you and live your best life? Get your testosterone level where it's supposed to be. Live your best life. Men's T Clinic can help you do that. They test you, they find out where your levels are, and they can get your levels to the optimal point where you are living your best life and you are back to being the real you. Go to menstclinic.com to find one of the four locations in and around the Houston area. It's a game changer, folks. Menstclinic.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Dallas Keuchel did not sign his qualifying offer, so he's a free agent. And the Astros are going to get a compensatory pick. So, yay, team. Would you like James Paxton?
I would. So just for the simple fact, you don't have to hit against him.
You are not good against that dude.
Nope.
You take him away from Seattle.
It's the LeBron method. Add guys that you don't like playing against.
Yeah.
Joe Blank talked about that. LeBron, if you'll notice, all the bullies that he doesn't really love playing against, like, hey, let's get Lance Stevenson.
Yeah.
Let's get Lance. Hey, let's get this guy. Let's get that guy. Let's get Paxton.
I wouldn't mind. And I think Paxton is a little bit more probably economically sound than maybe some other guys. And, they could just go, we've got J.V. Bukauskas, we've got Forrest Whitley.
When you say his last name.
Forrest Whitley, we've got Josh James, we've got Colin McHugh, we're good. Our rotation is fine. We don't have Keuchel anymore. We're not going to have McCullers. We're not going to have Charlie Morton. We're fine.
I don't think your rotation's fine.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm saying they could. I mean, honestly, if you went in with Colin McHugh as your number three guy this year and Forrest Whitley, you say, well, listen, we got to see the kid. We got a kid that we think is going to be great. When are we going to bring him up? Let's go.
Yeah, no, I'm for that. One thing we talked about with Jeff Luhnow about being a little afraid to pull the trigger on stuff, right?
Not in the offseason.
But, well, we say that. But he did end up with Justin Verlander. We'll give him credit for that, even though we think that's a little, you know, there were some other owner had something to do with it, the Hurricane, all that. But he went out, if reports are true from Ken Rosenthal, who feels like a fairly credible guy, then Jeff Luhnow was trying to add Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big deal.
Well, yes. However, you were getting Bryce Harper at a price and as a rental. Would you...
Potentially.
Would you like... I know. Do you want to give Bryce Harper $30 to $40 million a year right now?
I mean, that's not my favorite thing. You know one thing I've noticed? I wouldn't be a good owner because I don't feel like, or GM, because I don't feel like giving anybody that much money. I struggle with Chris Paul getting that much money. Like, I guess I do watch pockets. I just feel like this is such a great city that everyone should take.
You are a definite pocket.
We should definitely take hometown discounts here if you're a professional athlete so that we have lots of money for everybody.
Well, my issue.
Yeah.
Why, do you operate like that in business?
No.
Huh. So you want everyone else to
take a hometown. We take a hometown discount here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it a discount or who else is going to pay us?
Well, guess what? All those articles
feel like. I just feel like.
Different thing.
Okay.
I just feel like it would be better if Chris would have taken less and you could have signed better players.
Here's my thing.
Well, you're capped out either way.
Here's my thing about it, though, is okay, Bryce Harper. .249 and, you know, an 889 OPS. I'm not paying $35 million a year for that. I think he's way overvalued.
Yeah, he is. When you consider all the, well, if you paid him, then you basically are saying somebody's going to go. Like, and I think that could have caused, you know, one of the things that that I've learned from GMs, and this is in baseball, football, and basketball, and that I'm sure you've learned as well. When you pay other guys for stuff they've done, you pay them premium dollars on your team when they've done stuff for other teams, it sets a dangerous precedent in your own locker room that, hey, we value that guy a lot. Thanks for what you guys are doing in here every day and all that. Yeah. That's great, but man, this is the guy that we really want to pay who's done nothing here with us.
That said, he's only 25. It ain't like you're paying a 30-year-old and you're giving – this guy has still got a lot of prime left. And in addition, a lot of – listen.
You're talking about Bryce?
Bryce. Yeah. Listen, a lot of locker rooms will say – while you say that, they'll say, thanks for going to get
you
that guy.
You build around him. Well,
but you don't think they all said, wow, thank you for going to get Justin Verlander.
Yeah, but Justin Verlander is a team guy. I'm not saying necessarily.
You still had to pay him 20 and nobody else is getting 20 in that locker room.
I get
room.
It, but he is a guy who is part of the squad and he has earned his stripes and everybody
respects
him.
Not when he got
him.
Here, before he got here.
Everybody. Well, he has, as a major leaguer, he definitely had.
Yeah, but
he
Bryce. Has, yeah, so is Bryce.
He has championship pedigree. You were trying to win a championship. Yeah. If you pay Bryce, that. So the money for Justin wasn't going to change anyone else's life on the team. It wasn't going to say, you got to go. I don't think. You could say maybe, but if they really wanted to hang on to Keuchel,
no, nobody
they could.
Came due when he.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's going to be gone when everybody's
Bryce Harper
coming
would
due.
Have an impact
right.
on other people's
right,
money
right, right,
who
right.
are who are part
but
of the
that,
core.
Yeah, that said, though, you don't think that Altuve would go, wow, we just picked up Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I think
we're really trying to win.
I think they would. Let's remember, Bryce has had fights with his own teammates in locker rooms before.
Yeah.
I mean, in the dugouts with Jonathan Papelbon, that actually happened. He had a real fight with a teammate. I don't know that he's a great teammate. We know he's a certified douchebag. But we do know that, but that doesn't mean he can't be a good baseball player and a guy who ends up clicking in his locker room. He might.
Yeah, but
Papelbon's old red-ass Red Sox, too.
He and Alex Bregman in the same
it's
locker
a concern.
Room. No,
it's a concern.
It's not a concern.
It's a lot of swag.
Do you want to talk about a bro-ship? I mean, those two will be, I mean, bandanas, they'll be wearing, they'll be doing dances on the plane.
Can you imagine the Snapchat when Alex Bregman calls Bryce Harper his mother effing boyfriend? Like,
oh,
with
yeah.
And
he kisses him on the cheek and when they're drinking champagne out.
There's no story to see here, Del.
What?
No story
was
to
that,
see.
Didn't Alex He's Bregman my, say that?
Marwin is his mother bleeping boyfriend.
He did say
yes,
that.
He did say it.
He meant friend who is
I
a
wasn't,
guy.
I wasn't implying. I'm just saying, could you imagine when he says that about Bryce, how happy
you know what?
You'll
Not
be
gonna
about
happen,
that?
So we don't have to worry about
well,
it.
Well, he's still a free agent.
Now, Paxton, you know, Paxton's got, man, it seems like Paxton's way better than he actually is just because he dominates against the Astros. Paxton was...
Yeah, he's not going to command a bunch.
No, but his 208 strikeouts in 160... innings is something the Astros would definitely like. It's his best strikeout numbers of his career.
And when he comes here, how much better will he spin?
I feel like the spin rate is going to get substantially better.
Right.
He averaged almost 12 strikeouts per nine. I think the spin rate's going to be good. His, you know, it was also his best whip number since his rookie season when he only played in four games. So he does have all the... He's a lefty. It has all the telltale markings of an Astro signing. It really does. He's 30. So, I think he just turned 30. Let me see. I think he just turned. I saw where he was 30. So,
yeah, he's got.
Yeah, he just turned 30 November 6th. So,
give him a 4-year deal.
Yeah, you can give him a 4-year deal. Yeah. You can give him a 3-year deal. If Paxton is a guy that you want who's a left hander,
yes.
He's Canadian. If everything goes
That's
sideways.
That's a sensible yet. Oh, wow. He's going to be really, really good when Brent Strom gets a hold of him.
Yeah, and if something goes sideways in the country, he's Canadian, so we could all have a place to stay in wherever his family
what?
Lives, if they've got a little spot in
what
Canada.
Mean all of us?
All
is
of
he
us.
Just going to host the city of Houston?
Maybe.
Well, us, like people who are for the Astros, not you.
Why does he care if you are safe?
Well, I'm going to try to make friends with him when he gets here.
No, you are a cleat chaser.
Yeah. I'm just a safety chaser.
Well, not even just a cleat chaser. You're a coach. You're a playbook.
I'm a safety chaser.
Play caller chaser. You're on the phone with Jimbo for 15 minutes after the interview was over.
Play caller chaser.
You are a play caller chaser.
I didn't even heard
yeah,
of that.
I made it a thing because of what you did with Jimbo. Did Jimbo have to pay you per minute?
I
did
just
you have to pay him per minute?
Asked Jimbo. This is not a 900 number. I just asked some football questions about some of his prospects.
That's
all I did.
In that scenario, John, Did Jimbo pay him or did he pay Jimbo?
It was not a 900 number. It was not a by minute. It was not a webcam. None of that stuff happened.
Did I hear tokens clink?
Any tokens. There was not like the deuce where there's some kind of, you know, door that opens up for a little pitch show.
Were you smiling when you said goodbye for a happy ending there?
Yeah. Was it a happy ending when you you hung up with
were
Jimbo?
Were you smiling when you said goodbye?
Define happy ending.
Because we called Jimbo.
Yep.
Bye, so Coach.
That means you
love
had,
you, love you.
You had to pay him. Did you mention peanut butter at any point?
Did you?
No. No one brought up peanut butter. I don't like where Dell goes with everything now. Oh. You have been a bad influence on him. I remember he used to be, like, he would occasionally snark out, but now he is just, he pushes, he's, I think he's exceeded you.
Yeah, I think
I'm just trying to figure
out. Maybe he's the bad influence on you.
On your credit card bill, will it, like, say something random?
It's
like,
not going to be.
Tropics Limited or something? Yeah.
Jimbo's Steakhouse?
Yeah.
I'll never forget being at the Colorado one time as a waiter. I had no money. I had a credit card with like a $500 limit. And me and my buddy Lester, who we called Elvis, we were like, his idea after our shift was, let's go to the Colorado. I'm like, word. So we go there, and it seemed like they really liked us a lot. It seemed like the strippers were really, you know, they really thought we were really great guys and were hanging out with us. They were doing drinks with us and shots and everything. Then
looked like you guys were going to have a long-term relationship.
Then when the credit card bill came, it was to the top. Mm-hmm. And it was like, hey, this is going to take a while for me to pay off as a waiter, number one. And then, it was something Ice House.
Steakhouse.
Yeah, you're right. It was the Tropics Unlimited or whatever, but it was something similar to that.
A guy's wife told me, all the guys, they go away on this trip and everything. And they go to this steakhouse. It's expensive. It's a really expensive steakhouse.
It's a really good steakhouse,
yeah. Because it comes back on the credit card. Every year, they go to this same steakhouse. Okay.
Is it the Mons Venus Steakhouse in Tampa?
No, it doesn't say Mons Venus. It says something like Acme Steakhouse or something. All right. Well, 848.
You didn't snitch on him, did you? You didn't tell him
no.
the truth.
I was worried
that you might dry snitch him.
That place is expensive.
Probably get bottles. They're probably getting expensive bottles of red wine.
How much steak costs these days?
Yeah, and the red wine is really expensive if you get a quality red. So,
all right, why don't you talk right now about our peeps over? Speaking of steaks and cooking them.
So this is a true story. I love steak. Love steaks. My son snacks. His favorite thing is lamb lollipops and also steak. For his birthday, he wants lamb lollipops and steak. Now he's also adding ribs to it for next year. He asked me one time, can you just make some steak? I want to take that to school for lunch. You're being a little bougie, Snacks. I'm not going to do that for you. But the reason the kids love it so much is I've got a Green Mountain and I've got a Memphis. I've had Traeger too. Love Traeger. Love to get my hands on the Pits and Spits. I'm not going to lie to you. But what I've learned to do, the Memphis is a smoker or a grill. Depends on, you know, you can change the crate that's in the middle from one that has indirect heat to one that has holes in it that allows flames to come up as well. But I've learned to really make steaks exactly the way I like them, from a temperature standpoint, from a seasoning standpoint. And a big part of that has been Texas Star Grill Shop. They are your one-stop shop for barbecuing, smoking, grilling, whatever the case may be. They've got all the ancillary goods that you may want, like world championship rubs. They've got seasonings. They can help you pick the right rub and marinades out for your food. But they also have pizza stones and grill cleaners and, you know, rib racks and internal thermometers that you can use. And these grills, these wood pellet grills from Pits and Spits and Traeger and Green Mountain, Memphis, there's so many of them now. They're so well built, so well designed. And I haven't even gotten to the ceramic cookers or the Weber gas grills or any of the other grills that they have. They do outdoor kitchens. Find the grill that's perfect for you and take your barbecuing and grilling to the next level with my good friends over at Texas Star Grill Shop. Two locations in Houston. They can also do outdoor kitchens, and they assemble and deliver absolutely free. They will never be undersold. TexasStarGrillShop.com at 2045 Southwest Freeway right there at 59 and Shepherd, or in Spring off Luetta. It's TexasStarGrillShop.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, really quick segment here. Raheel joins us at the top of the hour on ESPN 97.5. We'll be giving away, just give you a little hint, we'll be giving away the staycation, chance to win the staycation at the Houstonian very soon. And also an Xbox One, right?
Not the game, not the system itself, a game.
Oh, the game. NBA 2K19. Xbox One.
Yes. Well, it's on your sheet. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal to win that, isn't it? 2K19?
Yeah, if you want to play as the Rockets or the Warriors, whoever you want to play as.
Did you guys see Markelle Fultz last night?
No. What about him? I know he broke up with his trainer.
Yeah, they're not talking anymore. The guy who he worked with all offseason.
The trainer said, I think he's injured again. He's like, shut up, dude.
There's a good reason that they shouldn't ever talk again. If he taught him how to shoot free throws. Did you see the double clutch free throw?
He said it slipped out of his hand. That's why he double
clutched. Oh, no, it didn't.
That's what he said.
He's got the yips. He's got the Chuck Knobloch yips.
He's got a physical issue that looks like it's not going away and maybe manifesting itself into the mental as well.
Yeah. No, really, that whole to like catch Steve Sachs, can't throw the ball from second base.
The injury fundamentally changed his shot forever, and now he cannot shoot a basketball. How is he going to play in the NBA?
Who was the Mets catcher that couldn't
Mackie
Sasser. Couldn't throw it back to the pitcher?
Well, it wasn't just that. You know who else? This is what I've been told, too. Evan Gattis can't throw to the pitcher anymore. That's why he's not catching anymore.
Really?
Evan Gattis can't throw it. And they realized he can't be an emergency catcher, nothing. He can't throw it. He's got a mental block. It's happened with Mackie Sasser, Steve Sachs. It's happened with golfers. It's one of those things. You don't usually
the lefty for the Cubs, John, can't throw to first. Can't throw over to first.
Oh,
Red Sox.
Yeah, Lester.
John Lester.
Or it also happened with, obviously, most famous is St. Louis Cardinals.
Hey, Rick Ankiel.
This guy was a great pitcher, and he had to become an outfielder because he couldn't throw anymore.
Couldn't throw
but now he could hum it from the outfield.
Oh, yeah.
And he could hit it. That was actually cool story. You want to talk about a great baseball player or athlete to go like, yeah, I'm a pro. You know, a lot of those guys are good hitters and pitchers when they're younger.
He's no
but,
Brandon Whedon, but okay.
But Ankiel's like, wow. Ankiel just went from pitcher to hitter, and he's making it in Major League Baseball. That was a pretty crazy story.
Why are you crowbarring Brandon Whedon?
Oh, if you're drafted first round NFL, second round baseball, and you play on the Oklahoma State golf team.
Okay, that's
I want to ask you a question.
What?
Did he have the yips at any point?
I'm just saying great athlete. If you're going to mention great athletes, let's not forget the number one in this city.
Does Brandon Whedon, what shows up on Brandon Whedon's credit card for John whenever
It shows up on John's credit card because John's the one taking pleasure from hanging out with Brandon Whedon.
No. Well, I feel like Brandon Whedon should be the one paying John.
Brandon Whedon's your daddy.
Brandon Whedon should be in the Tropics Unlimited Steakhouse on his
John
credit card.
The one who gets all funny, gets that funny feeling in his pants talking about Brandon Whedon.
See, again with
so I think John has the Tropics Limited statement on his that mention on a statement.
I like that Tropics Limited has become a thing.
Well,
Tropics
that's
Limited.
That's just the offshore
Fred's
account.
Fred's Ice House. You're home for $25 lap dance. I mean, for Jello shots and also a steak night on Wednesdays.
All right, so we're catching up on breaks here, and you need to be listening very soon if you want to get in on this Xbox One NBA 2K19 and winning a staycation trip to the Houstonian. So stay with us here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, brush your teeth.
Okay.
I was sticking it in my mouth, but I was doing it wrong. That's right. I was sticking the toothbrush in my mouth, and I was doing it wrong. Oh, but now you know what? Quip. They taught me how to brush my teeth. After all these years, I finally learned. No, I didn't stick it there. I wasn't sticking on my head, under my armpit, or anywhere else, or where you're implying right there, Del. I wasn't doing that. I was just brushing my teeth the wrong way. No, I wasn't doing that either. So listen, if you want to brush your teeth the right way, 2 minutes. with pulsating action that tells you when it's time to change quadrants. That's right. 20,000 dentists say this is the right one. And it costs just $25. I saw a commercial for one of the other electric toothbrushes this morning. I was disgusted. Why would you even? You know what? Get off the air. Go out of business. You're terrible. Next to Quip. Okay? The Quip toothbrush, $25, get you started. Your first 3-month bristle replacement and toothpaste free. Then after that, just $5 every 3 months. It's the best deal in the world. Okay, so if you're looking for a great way to brush your teeth correctly, get quip.com/ESPN975. Get quip.com/ESPN975.
ESPN 97.5.